Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. And today we're going to be tackling a question that's as old as time itself, equality, but we're adding a twist.
Ooh, a twist.
A twist. We're going to explore how this concept plays out in the teachings and actions of Jesus.
Okay.
We've got a fascinating mix of sources in front of us.
Right.
From the Bible itself.
Of course.
To some really insightful historical and theological analyses.
Nice.
So if you ever wondered how Jesus approached this idea of equality and what it might mean for us today, you are in the right place.
Yeah, you know what strikes me is that while equality is a buzzword today, it's not a new concept.
Right.
But exploring it through the lens of Jesus's teachings can offer some truly surprising perspectives.
Okay, so let's dive right in. I think a good place to start is with Galatians 3.28.
Okay, yeah.
There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I mean, that feels like a pretty bold statement even today.
It is, because it was absolutely revolutionary for its time. To truly grasp the power of that verse, you have to understand the rigid social hierarchy of the Roman Empire in the first century. We're talking about a society deeply divided by ethnicity, where slavery was an accepted norm, and women were largely excluded from public life.
Wow.
And into this world, Jesus arrives with a message that transcends all of these divisions, proclaiming the radical unity and equality of all believers.
It's mind-blowing when you think about it that way. It completely upends the power structures of the time.
And it wasn't just lip service.
Right.
Jesus actively challenged the existing power dynamics, not just through his words, but also through his actions.
Right.
Take, for example, Matthew 23.8, where he explicitly tells his disciples, "You are not to be called rabbi, for you have but one teacher, and you are all brothers."
That's so interesting. It seems like he was deliberately rejecting those titles and labels that create artificial hierarchies within the community.
Precisely. And it directly challenges the established religious hierarchy of his time. Remember, the Pharisees and Sadducees derived their authority from their titles and positions.
Yeah.
By rejecting these titles for himself and his followers, Jesus was fundamentally shifting the focus from hierarchical authority to shared brotherhood.
It's almost like he's saying, forget about who's in charge. We're all in this together.
And that brings us to another crucial concept, servant leadership.
Okay.
We see this beautifully illustrated in Matthew 20.25-28, where Jesus flips the script on worldly power dynamics.
I see.
He tells his disciples that true greatness doesn't come from lording power over others, but from humbly serving them.
It's such a radical idea, especially in a culture obsessed with power and dominance. It makes you wonder how many of our leaders today truly embody that servant leadership model.
It's a question worth pondering, isn't it? But beyond leadership, Jesus' interactions with those considered outcasts really highlight his radical inclusivity. Mm. There are so many powerful examples. Welcoming children who were often marginalized in Mark 10.13, challenging ethnic and racial prejudice in the parable of the Good Samaritan, breaking social and religious barriers with the Samaritan woman in John 4.
Right.
And extending acceptance and forgiveness to the sinful woman in Luke 7.
Yeah.
Each story underscores this revolutionary idea that everyone, regardless of their background or perceived flaws, is worthy of God's grace and love.
It's clear that Jesus wasn't afraid to challenge the social norms and prejudices of his day. What really struck me is the story of Jesus healing the centurion's servant in Matthew 8.
Ah, yes, that story is fascinating because it illustrates how Jesus's compassion extended even to those on the other side of the deeply entrenched political and social divide between the Jews and the Romans.
Right?
Even though this Roman official represented the occupying force, Jesus recognized his humanity and responded to his plea for help.
Wow.
It speaks volumes about the universality of his message of love and healing.
And it connects beautifully with what we see later in Acts 10.34-35, when Peter, after some initial hesitation, realizes that God's love and salvation are meant for people of all nations. It seems even the disciples had to grapple with the full implications of this radical inclusivity.
Absolutely. It highlights that even those closest to Jesus were on a journey of understanding and unpacking these revolutionary concepts.
And then there's that iconic image of Jesus washing his disciples' feet in John 13. It's such a powerful visual representation of his approach to power and authority.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
yes,
that seemingly simple act becomes incredibly profound.
Wow.
Here you have the Son of God choosing to humble himself and perform this menial task for his disciples. It's a complete inversion of the power dynamics of his time, and it serves as a powerful example of what true leadership, true servanthood actually looks like.
It's a lesson in recognizing the inherent worth and dignity of every person, regardless of their social standing. What's fascinating to me is how these stories, though, told centuries ago, continue to challenge us to rethink our own assumptions about power, authority, and equality.
You've hit on a crucial point.
Okay.
The word equality might not have carried the same weight back then as it does today, but the core principles woven through Jesus's teachings and actions resonate deeply with our modern understanding of the concept.
So how do we reconcile the fact that equality as a concept has evolved over time with the timeless nature of Jesus's message?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Imagine the context of early Christianity spreading through the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
How did these concepts of equality land in a world steeped in hierarchy and social division?
Right.
And how did those early interpretations shape our understanding today? Mm-hmm. There's so much to unpack there.
It feels like we're just scratching the surface of this incredibly complex and fascinating topic, but maybe before we go any further, we should take a moment to clarify what we mean by equality in the context of this discussion.
That's an excellent point, because equality can be interpreted in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crucial to understand how this concept might have been understood in Jesus's time versus how we understand it today.
Exactly, because I think sometimes we can get so caught up in our modern definitions that we miss the nuances of what these concepts might have meant in their original context. So let's take a step back and delve into that a bit further.
You know, it's fascinating to consider that in the ancient world, equality wasn't necessarily about everyone having identical rights or opportunities.
Okay.
It was more about recognizing the inherent dignity of each individual as a creation of God, regardless of their social standing.
So it was more about a fundamental respect for human dignity rather than a strict notion of legal or political equality.
Exactly. And that's a really important distinction to make, because it helps us understand how Jesus's teachings might have been received by his contemporaries.
Okay.
He wasn't necessarily advocating for the overthrow of the existing social order.
Right.
But rather for a radical shift in how people viewed and treated one another within that order.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about changing hearts and minds, not just changing laws.
Oh, precisely. It's about recognizing the inherent worth of every person, regardless of their background status or even their actions. And that's where the concept of love comes in.
Okay.
Because for Jesus, love wasn't just an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way of life, a way of being in the world.
And that love seems to be at the heart of all his teachings on equality. It's like he's saying, if you truly love your neighbor, you can't help but treat them with respect and dignity, even if society tells you they're not worthy.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Mm.
It's about seeing the divine spark in every human being and treating them accordingly.
Yeah.
And that challenges us to confront our own biases and prejudices, to ask ourselves, are we truly living out this radical love in our own lives?
You know, it's funny because sometimes I think we can get so caught up in the theological debates surrounding Jesus's teachings
right. That
we forget about the practical implications.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does it actually look like to embody this radical equality in our everyday interactions?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's easy to talk about love and equality in abstract terms, but putting those principles into practice can be incredibly challenging. It requires us to step outside our comfort zones, to engage with people who are different from us, to challenge injustice wherever we see it.
And maybe it starts with simply listening to and valuing the perspectives of those who are often marginalized or silenced.
Right.
It seems like that was something Jesus did consistently throughout his ministry. He didn't just preach at people. He engaged with them. He heard their stories. He saw their humanity.
That's such an important point.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that everyone has a story to tell, a perspective to share. And true equality means creating space for those voices to be heard, especially those that have been historically silenced or ignored.
It's like that quote from Bryan Stevenson. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. It's about seeing beyond the labels and stereotypes and recognizing the shared humanity that connects us all.
Exactly. And that's what makes exploring these ancient texts so relevant today.
Yeah.
They challenge us to look inward, to examine our own hearts and motivations, and to ask ourselves, how can I be a more loving, compassionate, and just person in the world?
You know, as we've been talking, I've been thinking about all the ways throughout history that Jesus's teachings on equality have been misinterpreted or even used to justify oppression.
Right.
It makes me wonder if we're still grappling with the full implications of his message today.
That's a really important point to acknowledge. The interpretation and application of religious texts have always been complex and contested.
Yeah.
And it's crucial to approach these texts with humility. recognizing that our own biases and cultural lenses can influence how we understand them.
It's almost like we need to continually re-examine and reinterpret these teachings in light of our evolving understanding of the world and ourselves.
Precisely. It's an ongoing process of learning, unlearning, and relearning.
Mm.
And it requires us to engage with these texts in a critical and thoughtful way, always asking ourselves, what is the true spirit of this message? And how can I live it out in a way that honors that spirit and promotes justice and equality for all?
You know, it feels like we could talk about this for hours.
Right.
There are so many layers to unpack here, but maybe as we wrap up this deep dive, it's worth reflecting on what it all means for us as individuals navigating a world that often seems to be moving further and further away from these values of love, compassion, and equality.
That's the challenge, isn't it? How do we hold on to these ideals in a world that often feels so cynical and divided? But I think it's important to remember that even small acts of kindness, of reaching out, of challenging injustice, can have a ripple effect.
It's like that Margaret Mead quote, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has."
I love that it's a reminder that we don't have to wait for sweeping societal changes to make a difference. We can start right where we are in our own lives, in our own communities.
Maybe it's about choosing to see the world through the lens of love and compassion, even when it's hard. Maybe it's about speaking up for those who are being marginalized or mistreated. Maybe it's about simply extending grace and understanding to those around us, even when they don't deserve it.
And perhaps most importantly, it's about remembering that we are all on a journey and that none of us have all the answers. But by continuing to engage in these conversations, by continuing to wrestle with these challenging questions, we can move closer to that vision of a more just and equitable world.
You know, it's amazing how these ancient stories and teachings can still feel so relevant and challenging today. It's like they hold up a mirror to our own society and force us to confront those uncomfortable truths about ourselves.
That's the power of these timeless texts. They speak to something deep within the human experience, something that transcends time and culture. And even though the world has changed dramatically since Jesus' time, the core principles of his message, love, compassion, justice, equality, they still resonate deeply with our longing for a better world.
I'm also struck by how much we can learn from the way Jesus interacted with people. He didn't shy away from difficult conversations. He didn't avoid conflict, but he always approached those interactions with a deep sense of respect and empathy, even for those who opposed him.
That's a key point. Jesus was willing to challenge the status quo, to call out hypocrisy and injustice, but he never did it from a place of judgment or condemnation. He always sought to understand, to connect with people on a human level, and to invite them into a deeper understanding of truth and love.
It makes me think about how we often approach disagreements or conflicts today. It's so easy to get caught up in the rhetoric, to demonize those who hold different views, and to forget that we're all human beings with our own unique experiences and perspectives.
It's a trap we all fall into. But Jesus' example reminds us that true dialogue, true understanding, requires us to listen with open hearts and minds, to be willing to see the world through someone else's eyes, and to recognize the shared humanity that binds us together, even in the midst of our differences.
It's a powerful reminder that building a more just and equitable world starts with those individual interactions, those moments of choosing empathy over judgment, understanding over condemnation.
And it's not always easy. It takes courage to challenge our own assumptions, to step outside our comfort zones, and to engage in those difficult conversations. But the potential rewards are immeasurable.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with this lingering question. If Jesus were walking among us today, what would he challenge us to do differently?
That's a profound question, and I don't think there's a single easy answer, but I suspect he would challenge us to look beyond our own narrow interests, to see the world through the eyes of those who are suffering, and to act with compassion and courage to alleviate that suffering.
Maybe he would challenge us to dismantle the systems and structures that perpetuate inequality and injustice, to speak truth to power, and to stand up for the rights of the marginalized and oppressed.
Perhaps he would remind us that true greatness lies not in accumulating wealth or power, but in serving others, in loving our neighbors as ourselves, and in building a world where everyone has the opportunity to flourish.
It's a tall order, but it's also incredibly inspiring. It reminds us that each of us has a role to play in creating a more just and compassionate world, and that even small acts of kindness can make a difference.
And that's what I love about these deep dives. They spark our curiosity, challenge our assumptions, and inspire us to think differently about the world and our place in it.
This one has certainly given me a lot to ponder. So to everyone listening, we hope this exploration has challenged you, inspired you, and maybe even left you with a few more questions than answers.
Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep striving to make the world a little bit better. One act of love, one step towards justice, one moment of radical compassion at a time.
Until next time, happy diving.